This podcast is for informational purposes only. Information relating to investment approaches or individual investments should not be construed as advice or endorsement. Listeners should seek professional advice for their situation.
The news over the past weekend was consumed by one thing: the failure of Silicon Valley Bank in the United States. If markets hate one thing, it's surprises. A U.S. bank failure would fall in the category of a big surprise. But before I comment on our team's view of the market fallout in regards to SVB, we will address our thoughts on what led to the bank's insolvency in the first place. I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist for IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as I discuss our views on the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of March 13th, so listen on as we navigate the living market. Part 1. What happened with Silicon Valley Bank? Last Thursday, Silicon Valley Bank announced that they were going to take steps to improve their balance sheet and capital ratios. Their plan was to sell $21 billion worth of investments and raise $2.25 billion in new equity. We now know that this equity offering failed, and rather than shore up capital, the bank's troubles triggered a panic among its depositors, leading to a massive withdrawal of funds. Now, what led to this point? Well, in its normal course of business, SVB's deposits grew from just over $60 billion in the first quarter of 2020 to more than triple that at just under $200 billion by 2022. The bank, in turn, had invested in mortgage-backed securities and U.S. Treasury bonds. As interest rates rose over the last year in rapid succession, the market value of these bonds fell to less than what the bank had paid for them. By the end of 2022, the bank's assets had fallen in value by more than $17 billion. Into 2023, the situation only worsened as rates kept surging. As a result of changes to the banking rules following the Great Financial Crisis, banks have been allowed to classify bonds in an unrealized loss position as securities held to maturity in order to recognize that their loss didn't reflect their capital risk. In reality, these securities have themselves virtually no risk of default as they are U.S. government securities or carry government guarantees. The value of the bonds fell simply due to the fact that they pay interest at a much lower rate than bonds issued today. At the same time, however, tech companies and startups came under pressure. The challenges at tech companies, including cost management and lack of new funding, were heavily reflected in Silicon Valley Bank's client base. New deposits dwindled and withdrawals increased. To satisfy these withdrawals, the bank had to sell the securities that they were supposed to hold until maturity, thus realizing the losses. What was unlikely became reality. And at that point, the loss carried on these assets was bigger than the whole of the bank's book value. Last Thursday, customers tried to withdraw $42 billion in deposits, fearing that the bank would fail. The demand pushed the bank into failure. The bank did not have enough money to give back to all its customers, and by Friday, the bank had failed, resulting in the U.S. Federal Reserve stepping in over the weekend. Now, part two. What did the authorities do? Earlier, we said that the securities held to maturity by the bank held virtually no risk, and that their losses were, for the time being, unrealized losses as a result of a rapidly rising interest rate environment. In recognition of this and to quell the potential of financial contagion, the Federal Reserve stepped in over the weekend and launched a new program. The Bank Term Funding Program, or BTFP in short, is a facility that will loan money to banks for up to a year and take collateral of long-term assets or for their short-term needs, with their long-term assets serving as collateral at par. Simply put, this program is designed to prevent another bank coming under pressure due to the same circumstances at SVB. Further, U.S. regulators stepped in to guarantee all the deposits in the bank in order to restore confidence in the U.S. financial system. Now, this response should help to soothe investors worried about additional bank runs or the risk of a fresh financial crisis, which would trigger a recession. So that takes us to part three. What is our view of the situation? Well, in our view, we believe the current situation with SVB is very different from what transpired during the Great Financial Crisis, and parallels to the collapse of Lehman Brothers is unwarranted. The Great Financial Crisis was brought about by the massive leverage of the global financial system. It was a systemic failure of credit oversight, with the banks holding on to effectively worthless assets. In today's case, bank assets are of much higher quality with much less leverage. The Fed's BTFP should provide short-term relief for banks holding U.S. Treasury securities that have fallen in value as a result of the higher interest rates. While this is a failure by the Fed to recognize the unintended consequences in their inflation fight, we believe the steps taken will contain the potential spread of contagion. It will remain to be seen if confidence in the banking system remains intact after such an event, but if the Fed learned one thing from the Great Financial Crisis, it is to never let confidence in the financial system fail. We expect additional support by the Fed should it be warranted. We believe a near-term pause in rate hikes by the Fed is becoming more likely, which bodes well for bonds and potentially equity markets. A pause could come as soon as next week. In the meantime, we expect market volatility to increase in the coming days until confidence is restored. Despite the near-term volatility, however, we don't believe this will result in a renewed bear market. At the same time, the current situation highlights the benefit of a well-balanced portfolio whereby bonds provide a benefit with offset to equity market volatility. Obviously, this is a rapidly moving situation, and we will keep you informed along the way. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.